Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of November. I'm Paul White, and we have spent the last 2 days answering listener questions regarding the same topic. That's women teaching and leadership, some of Pauline women passages from the New Testament. We used the 1 Timothy passage, the Corinthian passages, and contrasted those to Paul's teachings on the equality of all from Galatians 3. And I hope our wrestling with that helped you. If you're interested in that, listen to November 1 and November 2, 2020, to get more information. Now, today and tomorrow, we are going to break away for listener questions. We've been having people, it's not been a formal request to say, hey, send us your questions, but they do float in. And I thought it was the perfect moment, since we've already broke away to take care of a couple of podcasts regarding the same question, that maybe we just spend a couple more dealing with other questions that have drifted in. If you are interested in sending a question to the podcast, there's a very easy way to do it. You can email us directly at the podcast. The address is ddp@paulwhiteministries.com, and that is a podcast-exclusive email. We do not always reply to the emails, but we do get them. And if they contain a question, that gets sent to me, and then we might be able to do that on the podcast. Sometimes I pile them up, so just because you don't hear from us quickly doesn't mean that question won't come up. And I do try the courtesy of if we do confirm we're going to do it on a certain date, we do try to at least get back to the person, say it'll be on that date's podcast. There's another way, and that's just generally through our email site. If you just go to paulwhiteministries.com and hit contact us, it will come. It just take maybe another step for it to get through as a question. Also, we hear through Facebook. Paul White Ministries has a Facebook page, and if you send through there, it'll get to us eventually as well. So the quickest way, though, ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. Okay, today, tomorrow, specifically, I want to take questions that I think have surfaced because we've been looking at Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens for most of the summer and now into the fall. And I think that has inspired the listeners to try to do that on their own, to look at those Old Testament stories through what you know Jesus is going to come and do at the cross. And when you think about it, that really makes sense if you're going to apply the scriptures to your day. If you don't put the lens of what Jesus did, then you have a book that was written a long, long time ago to a people a long, long time ago about things that may or may not have anything to do with you. And while that fact remains, when you add to that fact that you know Jesus came, God wrapped in human flesh, died at Calvary, resurrected, ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and ever lives to make intercession for you, that you are now co-inheritors of the new covenant, well, that colors what you do with those texts. So let me say this, as this is probably something I should have been repeating over and over as we studied these Old Testament passages. This is not some sort of magic trick where you see the finished work, like you put on your finished work glasses, and then you go back and every scripture completely transforms. It doesn't work. I don't think it works that way. It isn't as if once you see Jesus crucified and resurrected and ascended, then everything changes. What happens is everything starts to get clarity. Some things will still not minister life to you. Just because they're in the Bible doesn't mean that it's ministering something specifically to you. And so it's not some trick by which you go, okay, now that I know the finished work, let's go look at this chapter, and let's look at this chapter, and let's look at this chapter. While that most certainly is a way to study, don't expect that everything changes. But what we do look for is, where does this text become life-giving to me based upon what I know of the finished work of Jesus? And to me, that starts to make it an essential journey in studying those texts. I was asked, someone sent an email that said, could you help explain Leviticus chapter 6 through a New Covenant lens? Well, Leviticus chapter 6 contains the law of burnt offering, the law of grain offering, and the law of sin offering. But the first seven verses do not contain a specific offering law. So I have to make an assumption based on that email that they want us to deal with that non-specific, because if the law, burnt offering, grain offering, sin offering, these are all wrapped up in what Jesus did. You don't have to bring any of these to the Lord. You don't offer up a burnt offering or a grain offering or a sin offering, because there's only one sacrifice forever, the Bible says. So I don't think the question is about verses 8 to verse 30. I think it's probably about the restitution that happens in the first seven verses. Let me read for you Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And then let's take a look at that through a new covenant lens. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of those things that he may have done in which he trespasses. So let me first of all say that that whole offering part at the end has been done in Christ. But this text is really about how you pay back the people around you. And that was a very Old Testament concept. I don't mean Old Testament as in not relevant, but I mean in the Old Testament, Israel was under the instructions that if they wronged their neighbor, they were to take care of that. So I think the questioner is asking, how do we handle this under the new covenant? I want to point out verse 5. If you've done something in which you've stolen falsely from your neighbor, restore the full value and add 20%, add one-fifth more. So add a 20% interest or tip on top of whatever you pay back. So if you've done something to someone and you owe them, pay them, but also pay them in excess. In the New Testament, we get an example of what happens when a man encounters Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, and he doesn't do anything except agree to eat with him. There's no sermon, there's no healing. And as he sits to eat with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus is so overwhelmed that Jesus would eat with him, because that's a sign that we are good. As Jesus sits down to eat, Zacchaeus says in Luke 19:8, Lord, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. So I want you to notice, Zacchaeus, who's a son of Abraham, he's a Jew. He understands that the Jewish law is if you've wronged someone, pay them back and give them 20%. He says, Lord, I'm going to pay people back and give them 400%. So what this says to me is that under the new covenant, we will do more to take care of our neighbor than we would have ever done under the obligation of the old covenant. And so Zacchaeus was under no law to give so much. You do not have a percentage hanging over your head. But I think what will happen is as you realize where you've wronged your neighbor, you will seek to make restitution, and you will not limit it to a legalistic restitution. You will do a grace restitution, which will give more than what you took. And I don't just mean financially, but I mean in every way. I think the principle is that the new covenant looks for opportunity to greatly bless in the areas where it has wronged others. We'll do another one of these from another email question tomorrow. See you then. God bless.